Matthew chapter 24. Now again, we're thinking about these seals, okay? And then I want you to listen and watch the parallels in this portion of Scripture. Matthew 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and the end of the world? Now, again, folks, when you're reading these parallel courses, you have to always say, okay, Jesus is going to tell us some things that's going to happen before the rapture. No, not in this portion of Scripture. They said before the end of the world. And so a lot of what Jesus is going to say, I'm not saying some of this stuff can't happen, as we've already talked about, the ground being laid, some certain level of persecution is coming against the church. But, you know, he's talking about things that are happening in the tribulation period. Think about that as we're reading this, okay? Verse number 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. Remember I talked about Many antichrists will come before the antichrist, all right, and shall deceive many. And there's that kind of great falling away we were talking about. And ye shall hear of wars, all right, here comes the red horse, and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, come on, there's the black horse, you know, earthquakes. We're going to read the sixth seal tonight. We're going to get a chance, Lord willing, to see it. What's it involve? You know, a huge earthquake. Then we see, by the way, I didn't bring this material with me. I've taught it in our adult Sunday school class at times. But, you know, sometimes people ask, where's America in the end times and all of this? You know, there's a massive earthquake that happens in the sixth seal. You ought to just Google and read about this. Read about potential earthquakes or earthquakes and associated with Yellowstone's National Park. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's already something set up in the United States of America that if that an earthquake ever happened and an eruption ever happened there, it would decimate the entire country. I'm talking about decimate the country. I don't know what God's going to do and how God's going to bring judgment upon America. I think there's a reason that, in my estimation at least, I'm not sure that America is, we find it in the end times, but, you know, you think about that when we get to the sixth seal there. So there's that. And then verse, earthquakes in diverse places. Verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Remember, these are just the first six seals, seven seals. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now, we're going to see that in seal number 5 tonight. And shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And thank God we're going to learn about this tonight, but there is going to be people that get saved in the tribulation period. They're going to endure to the end. They're going to refuse to take the mark of the beast. And you know what? They're going to die, and we're going to literally see them in heaven as we read the sixth seal, but they're going to have to give their life for their faith. And then verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Preacher, how's that going to happen? I'll show you. For a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And that's talking about Jesus coming back in Revelation chapter 19, setting up his kingdom. Heavenly Father, so many wonderful things, interesting things, Lord. And again, it's good to know. It's good that we have the knowledge. It's good that we have some level of understanding as far as what you've revealed to us. But Lord, may we then make the application. Maybe be wise enough to know that you put these things in the Bible to help motivate us and just encourage us, Lord, to share the gospel and to see people saved. And Lord, I wouldn't want anybody to have to go through the things we're going to talk about. I wouldn't want anybody to go through that. May we get a burden Lord, for our lost loved ones. May we double check on some of them that maybe have a lip profession, but their life doesn't match it. May we just sit down and have these serious conversations. Lord, if we don't, one of these days, Lord, those tears are going to come. There's a reason you're going to have to wipe away all tears. Lord, may heaven not be a place of regret. But Lord, I just pray that you would help us to have the boldness to do and to say and to be what we ought to be while we're still here. We still have opportunity. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All right, I'm not going to go through. If you'd like to, mark Matthew 24. I might sneak back there. But let's go on over to Revelation chapter 6. And again, we went through a lot of things. And we kind of, on purpose, took a little side road to talk about the spirit of Antichrist and some of the things that what is going to occur to set things up. And then we went back to Genesis chapter number 6. And hey, as in the days of Noah, well, you know what? Folks, listen, I'll read it again. And God saw the wickedness of man, talking about the days of Noah, Genesis 6, was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented God that he had made man, and it grieved him at his heart. And then verse 11, we're going to see this tonight. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Now, again, folks, listen. Again, I'm not trying to panic people, but I think preachers need to kind of push back on this whole American idea that, you know what, we're just going to sit here and cruise through life, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and we may have to face a little level of persecution. Listen, before God said to Noah, okay, build the ark, you know what? It had gotten to this level. All the earth was filled with violence. All mankind was corrupt. It gotten down to where there was one family that God deemed worth saving. And then he had them build an ark, and that took 120 more years. And so I guess I just want to kind of just blow the trumpet a little bit. I'm afraid sometimes the American Christians are going to go through some tribulation. I didn't say some of the tribulation period. Some measure of tribulation, and we're going to lose heart, and maybe we're going to have people drop off and lose faith and say, well, wait a minute, I thought Jesus was coming back, and the Bible may not be true. Your preacher's warning you now, okay? I wasn't just trying to be, you know, dramatic the other night when I said, you know what, there's going to be a day when there's chains and a padlock back there. There's going to be a time where preachers are thrown into jail. I think that we'll live to see that before Jesus comes back. Okay, let's go back to as in the days of Lot. And here I want to review a little bit. Well, think how bad Sodom and Gomorrah got. Okay, there was only one Christian family, part of a family that was left, and they were so backslidden that they you couldn't tell the difference between them and the world. And you know what? They're beating on Lot's door at night, demanding he send these men out. They're bold enough and wicked enough in their sin that they are coming to your house and beating on the door. Come on, put yourself in Lot's place. And then God comes and sends an angel and takes them out and brings you. I'm just saying, you know what, if you look at, if it's going to be as in the days of Noah and as in the days of Lot, this whole idea that we're just, you know, where we are right now and everything's great and, you know, Jesus is going to pull us out and then it's going to get really bad. No, it could get really bad before Jesus pulls us out. Now, why are you saying that? Because I want you to strengthen your faith. I want you to ready yourself. I want you to be determined that no matter what happens or how bad it gets, I'm standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to quit church. You know, I'm not going to be a part of that great falling away. You know, I'm going to be faithful till Jesus comes, because it's easy to say that. But I'm not sure any of us have an idea of all that we'll have to face before Jesus comes. So I hope that's a help to us. And so then we, last at the end of the lesson last week, if you look in Revelation chapter 6, we begin to see then these other seals. First of all, we have the white horse, okay? And we're introduced to him in verse number 2. Then all of a sudden, the second seal, verse number 3 and 4, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Power was given to him that set upon him to take peace from the earth. And folks, peace will be taken from the earth. Think about it. Think about the words. And they should kill one another. and there shall be given unto him a great sword. Now, preacher, what is this great sword? I'm not sure, but there's a lot of things it could be. There's some things that are available today that I think if we knew all that some folks know, you know, I try to be careful what I say publicly, but I've got a friend and some friends that are involved in some of this stuff. And you know what? There's a reason that these veterans that are in the know, you know, there's a lot of the reason a lot of them's gone to prepping. There's a, because, you know, they understand what's really available that the average American doesn't understand. Folks, things that you know, you've heard of, okay? You know, 9/11, oh my goodness sakes. And a horrible thing. But they commandeered two planes and flew them into the two towers there in New York. And what did it do to America? And by the way, what it revealed the character of America, which was a little scary. Some of it was encouraging, some of it was scary. You know, I've seen people immediately begin to take advantage of one another. I've seen, you know, within 24 hours, you know, there's a gas station I still won't go to in Terre Haute that decided, you know what, they were going to raise gas to $8 a gallon. Just take advantage of the situation. You're going to see some of that, okay, in these last days. But, you know, we saw that. It's horrific. But the honest truth is the capability of what's out there. I mean, folks, nuclear bombs that can take out a large city or parts of a large city can fit in a suitcase. Okay, and this whole idea of our southern borders and us not having border laws, and it's all about compassion. It's not just Mexican people that are coming across the line down there. Once they found out there's a wide open door and they can walk in, they are arresting and detaining, not everybody, but of the ones they do, are people from all over the place, including countries that hate our guts. All right? Go to a truck stop, okay? By the way, this whole idea that the Muslims are a peaceful people and a peaceful religion, you better do your homework. And you watch what, you know, there's such a need in every industry for workers. And in the trucking industry, you know, as soon as people come into America, man, they know there's places that will help them get their CDL and do the training and pay for all of it because they need them on the road. And you're watching people come in and out. You say, well, you're profiling. Okay, say whatever you want to. If you want to stick your head in the sand, stick your head in the sand. But one of the problems is we're so worried about being called a racist, we won't see what's right in front of our face. Okay, and if a couple of Muslims, extreme Muslims, commandeered a plane, they don't have to commandeer planes anymore. I could tell TSA they're wasting their time. They did it once, they're not doing it again. They don't have to. Because all of a sudden now we're talking about a suitcase, now we're talking about a semi-truck. And in a coordinated effort, on a certain day, all it would take is, come on, 10, 15, 20 to pick out the 20 largest cities in America, drive in, put them in a strategic location, and within a 24-hour period, America would be, I don't know what would be reduced to. We don't have the character we had when we faced World War II. That was a different America. We don't have that character anymore. And so, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, preacher, you know, I'm not trying to give your kids nightmares, and I'm not trying to, I don't want you to live in a spirit of fear. I want you to have a reality check and realize, you know what, I can't control all those things, so I don't worry about what I can't control and put it in the hands of God. But what I can do is win people to Christ. Well, by the way, what I can do is use some common sense in this matter of being prepared in case things were to go south. And so, you know, think about those things a little bit. So we see war riding in the great sword. I'm going to say, is it electromagnetic pulse, EPT or EMPs? Folks, just Google it and read up on it. Okay. That's one of the reasons I said what I said at the end of the service last week about there's a book you men probably ought to pick up and read. And all of a sudden, you know, you have something go off that just explodes above us. It doesn't land and hit anything above us. An entire segment of our nation, all of a sudden, every single thing that's electronic or tied to electronics is fried, gone. I mean, it's hard for us to even, come on. We have a storm and the power goes out of our house for 24 hours and we're wringing our hands and flipping out and what are we going to do and how can we live like this? And they've got to get it on. I can't microwave anything, you know. You think of America, all of a sudden, a large region of America all of a sudden has no power and you're not getting it back on. Listen, you're not getting it back on. And so again, you know, come on, Americans. If there's a group of people that are ready for this, it ought to be Christian America. Not only ready in a practical sense or a common sense way, but spiritually ready to be able to then, watch this, we may have to then transition to a whole different type of ministry, but our commission, Great Commission, hasn't changed. Our main purpose hasn't changed. You know, it's like, okay, we have a, you know, and again, I'm being patient with them, but, and I can't make everybody's call for them, but, you know, we had missionaries in Ukraine. Well, guess what? Ukraine went into a horrible situation with Russia invading. But, you know, is the answer to run? Is the answer to leave?
Come on.
Where are we going to go, by the way, if it really goes bad? You know, and again, why can't we? If there's ever a time people ought to be open to the gospel, and, you know, I'm sorry, but sitting here in the States once a week getting on your computer and talking to the few little Christians is not the same as being on boots on the ground winning people to Christ. And after a while, you say, preacher, it's not your family, it's not you. I know, but it could be all of our families and all of our kids. And I'm trying to get us ready mentally for this because, you see, I think one of the reasons God may allow a level of real tribulation in America is to give American Christians a chance to reap that last great harvest. Because it's amazing when 9/11 happened, how all of a sudden the churches were filled again. And I think God may allow some things in America before Christ comes back to allow us to have an opportunity. So what are we going to do? Are we going to turn selfish during that time, turn inward during that time? Or are we going to say, man, alive, people are listening who never listened. They're asking questions. Folks, when I'm out going door to door, we started going door to door soul winning by, you know, June 1st after COVID. And I'm knocking on doors, stepping off the porch. People are coming to the door. You know, I'm 20 feet away in their front yard and say, hey, I know people are nervous. And I didn't come here to make you nervous, but I wanted to come and check on you. I'm a Baptist preacher and wanted to have prayer with you. Is there anything going on I could help with? Are you okay? And man, they would just step right out on the porch and they would just kind of just looking for somebody to talk to. You know why? Because they're not okay. And people willing to talk that's never been willing to talk. And I mean, every house, they're opening up. They're talking. They're asking questions. All of a sudden, all this end time stuff that they remember kind of grandma talking about, they're like, isn't some of this kind of stuff in the Bible? And all of us, listen, you know, God may allow that. What are we going to do? We're going to, if that happens, are we just going to turn bitter against God, quit church and not do the hard thing? Or are we going to say, hey, things aren't falling apart. Things are falling in place. God's given us an open door here. Let's take advantage of it. Let's win people to Christ, you know. And so yeah, I hope this helps you with all of that, okay? And then we see the third seal, famine. Folks, anytime you have war, you have famine. They always go hand in hand traditionally, historically. That's the way it happens. And so I'll skip over that. The fourth seal, 7 and 8. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and him that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with beasts. I studied that fourth part of the earth. Most people agree, most commentators believe that a fourth of the population of the world will be killed in this first kind of unveiling of these seals. And so some folks take the approach of the idea of it being geographical, fourth part of the earth. I think when I studied the original wording, I'd probably lean with the fact that it means that we're going to lose a fourth of the population. Now, think about that. We're not even into all of the other judgments yet. But you know what? Once the Antichrist at the 3.5-year mark, you know what? All of a sudden he comes into Jerusalem and he enters the temple and enters the Holy of Holies and sits there and profanes the temple and proclaims himself as God to be worshipped as God. It's going to be on from that point on. and the world, peace will be taken from the world. Peace will be taken. Did you see that? It will be taken from the world. It's not going to be, well, there's a war over here and there's preacher. There's always been, yeah, there's always been somewhere on the planet. You folks, study it out. There's never been a time where we've had total peace on this planet ever. And I think that's on purpose. There's going to be a day we do have it when Jesus comes back. But we've never had it. But we've never had what the level of peace being taken from the earth. From the earth, peace is taken. That means every country, everybody is involved in a level. Every country's rising up, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. It's full on. You know, even what we call World War I and World War II did not involve every nation of the world. And you read how horrific those things were. That's not every nation. Let me say it again. You don't want to be here. Okay? If you ever have any doubt about your salvation, I don't teach these things to create doubt. But you need to go back and revisit that and make sure that you're serious. Worried to death that there's kids growing up in church learning the lingo and going along. And, you know, one day, well, yeah, mom and dad keep asking me and my friends have all done it, and I'd like to get in that water too. And hey, you better make sure this is serious stuff, okay? And so we see then death follows famine. You got war, you got famine, folks, you got death. Now look at that last verse there, verse 8. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. Him that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Now watch this, to kill with sword. Okay, we already know that. War is going to break out. Peace is taken from the earth. And with hunger, okay, that's the third seal. Famine's going to come. It's going to have an impact. And with death. And I studied that. And, you know, there's interesting because you say, okay, they're going to be killed with death. What does that mean? Well, you know, again, I've got to be careful with the kids. I don't want to be too graphic or whatever. But if any of you have ever gone to war, any of you have ever been involved in a war, you talk to the old World War II vets and folks, when you get into a battlefield situation, you get into a country where not only people are dying by the sword, but dying of famine and, you know, the collateral damage of war. Well, you know what? There's going to be more people than we have time to bury. You got a fourth part of the earth, if that's what that means. You know what? Well, what does that create? When we read Jesus' account in Matthew 24, he talked about pestilence. And I believe that word death there is talking about death as a result of so much death. And you end up with a situation of pestilence where you're going to have things break out and kill folks that are, you know, like I said, kind of what we call collateral damage of war. And it's going to make COVID seem like nothing. Okay? And there it goes. It's rolling on. All right? And then it says, and with the beast of the earth. And now stop and pause about that. Okay? There's four things that are mentioned here. Killed with a sword and with hunger, with death and with the beast of the earth. So why would it be mentioned as an equal amongst those things if this wasn't a big deal that's happening, okay? I'll talk about one or two things. And now there's a couple of things I'm going to kind of throw out there to you, okay? I went back to Genesis chapter number 1, and when God created man, one of the things he did was he gave us dominion over everything else that he created. Let me read the verses. Genesis 1:26, and Jesus said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Two verses later, verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, let me give you maybe a story that'll help you, you know. I've gone out west and done some hunting, okay? I've gone elk hunting a couple of times. I'm getting ready to go moose hunting. So Brother Eric stops me at the back door back there and said, let me ask you a question, okay? You're up in this remote part of Alaska up on the Yukon River, and there's moose. And if there's moose, isn't there like rather large bears? And I'm like, yes, there's rather large bears. And he was saying, they're out west also. In fact, one of the things you have to kind of train yourself to do is once you kill an elk or a moose and you start gutting that and field dressing that, start packing the meat out, you know, that's one of the reasons I don't ever recommend anybody go on a solo hunt. There's guys that do it, but you ought to always go in partners for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is when you're cleaning out, you know, your field dressing and getting the meat and packaging it up. You're busy. You get concentrated what you're doing. Well, one guy needs to kind of stand up and let the other guy do it for a while and tap him on the shoulder and say, let me take, because it's work. If you've never done it, it's a lot of work packing elk out. Moose is a lot bigger than an elk, so it's a lot of work. Well, a grizzly bear can smell blood 3 miles away. Okay, so now you've got a 6 mile diameter where if there's a bear, that smells good. Wonder what's going on over there, okay? And so, you know, Google it. You can read the stories, you know, where guys are field dressing animals and packing out meat, and they have bear encounters. And, you know, he said, well, doesn't that make you nervous? Because I'm telling him all this. And, well, a couple reasons it doesn't. First of all, you know, people can say whatever they want. Most of the guys in the West do it. But every time I go out there, yes, I have my 300 Win Mag with me, but I have strapped right on my chest right here a 44 Magnum, okay? Because if I get into a close encounter with a bear, I want to be able to throw some lead at him, okay? But the main reason it doesn't, and maybe I ought to be more nervous, I don't know, but I grew up hunting. Let me just tell you something that God put into every other beast of the field, and that is a fear of man. God created us to have dominion, but he didn't just put that in us. He put that in them. And most of the bear attacks that you'll ever read about, folks, is a couple different things. What I just talked about, where you're dealing with meat and they're really hungry and they're going to come challenge you for the meat. And most of those situations, what happens is, okay, here he comes. He wants this moose. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to let him have the moose. That's what you're going to do. You'll pull the pistol. You'll start. You don't run. You back away and just hope he's satisfied with the moose, you know, because you don't argue with a full-grown grizzly or bear. You let him have what he wants. And but, you know, so the meat situation. You can read all kinds of stories about the unfortunate hiker or hunter that got in between a mama bear and her cubs. And they got that maternal instinct, you know, and that's not where you want to be, is between. So again, there's a reason that they're attacking a man, something that overcomes their natural inclination. And so you've got, you know, that situation. Or sometimes you read about guys that were coming along a trail and come around a corner and there's a bear right there and there's no way to see it. And all of a sudden he's just right up on top of the bear and their natural instinct is to strike out. And so those are the situations you got to be careful of. But folks, listen to me. I mean, 99.9% of the time, you run into a grizzly bear, and you're a man, and you're far enough away, and it sees you, and you see it. You know what it's going to do? It's going to take one look at you, turn around, and head off the other direction. You know why? Because of what God put in them. He's given us dominion. There's a natural fear of man that's put into every beast. Here's what I'm going to suppose. If this is this big of a deal, it's not just a handful of people, crazy people that are raising pit bulls that are going to turn loose and gobble up the world during that time. Although, I think that's part of it. Okay? And so what is this? What if the Lord, when he raptures his children out, if he removes from the beast of this earth that natural fear of man, if he takes away what he gave us in creation, and no longer does mankind have the dominion over the beast. Instead of that, the beast looked at us. Come on, we want to believe in evolution? Tell everybody we're just animals? All right, go live on the same plane as of an animal, and you're going to what you'll find out. Without God's help and protection, you're in trouble. So I just thought that was interesting. With the beasts of the earth listed right along, being killed with the sword and with hunger and with pestilence or death, and the beast of the earth, again, you don't want to be here during that time. The fifth seal. Well, I'm going to move. I don't know if I'm going to get as much done as I thought. In verse number nine. All of a sudden we stop. And we again get a chance to look up into heaven. Verse number nine. When he had opened the fifth seal. I'm sorry, it's gotten a little warm in here. Maybe someone can turn these fans on and get some air moving a little bit. Sorry, it's a little tight in here. Verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain. Well, wait a minute, why all of a sudden we have this seal in the midst of this? Okay, are they going to be slain with war? Yes. Are they going to be slain with famine? Yes. These other things? Yes. But all of a sudden now we see a group of Christians. All right, are you watching that? Verse number 9. He said, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So they aren't just victims of war or victims of beast of the earth or victims of famine or victims of pestilence. There is a large group of people here that all of a sudden are in heaven. And the reason they are there because they too were killed. But they were killed because of they were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now that tells me that people are going to get saved during the tribulation period. All right. There's no group of Christians going to be left. We're all out of here. But you know what? During that first 3.5 years under the false guise of a temporary peace, I think two things are going to happen. The groundwork is going to be laid for the persecution of Christians, and some of that's going to be going on and started even before he declares himself. And then when he declares himself, buddy, Bible-believing Christians who have a testimony of faith in Christ is going to become the FBI's most hunted, most wanted men. Dead or alive, it isn't going to matter, okay? And so we see them here in verse number 9. And they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Also, and their brethren, which that should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Okay, so right at the beginning, we're going to have, once the 3.5 years, war declared on the Christians. And there's going to be a large number of them that are murdered and hunted down and killed for their belief in the word of God and the fact that they have a testimony of being a born-again Christian. Well, where are they hearing the gospel at? If there's nobody left, how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, that's why we're going to get into chapter 7, just a little bit for a few minutes. Look at verse number 1 of chapter number 7. And after these things, I saw four angels stand on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. So before all of these seals are unleashed, all of a sudden there is going to be a cry from heaven, time out, stop. Okay, and then we see the sealing of the 144,000. No, these aren't the top echelon of the Jehovah Witnesses, all right? That's not who this is, all right? Verse number 4, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed in 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So we know right away, a couple things. There's going to be 144,000 of them, and we're going to see that they are all going to be Jewish people. Now, folks, I'm going to get to this. We're going to talk about the 69 weeks and the 170th week. We're going to get to that because I want you to understand a little bit of God and how he has worked with the nation of Israel. We support Jewish missions. We ought to support Jewish missions. I think we ought to try to reach every people group in the world. But the honest truth is, there's not scores and scores and scores and hundreds and thousands of Jewish people being saved right now. Talk to the average person that's trying to reach Jewish nation. They are hard. They are embittered. They are blinded. They don't want to talk to you about it. They may be the hardest people in the world to come to Christ as the Jewish people. And you know what? A lot of that is, you know what? I hate to say it, but it's kind of what they said on Calvary when they said, you know what? His blood be upon us and on our people. Look at the history of the Jewish people since then. Again, has there been some saved? Some saved, but not many. Okay, God's merciful, thank God. And whosoever will still is true. But you know what? And yes, let's get the gospel to them. But during the tribulation period, in a very unique way, God is going to turn back to the nation of Israel. And you're going to see that a lot of the folks that got saved, especially this first wave of 144,000, how did they get saved? I don't know. How did they come to Christ? I don't know. It doesn't say. There's 144,000 that are going to be declared the servants of God. And I think it's going to be Jewish people that have studied the Old Testament, and all of a sudden, they see what's happened. They realize the New Testament is true. These things are coming to pass. Jesus was the Messiah. And there's going to be 144,000 that come to Christ. They're not just going to come to Christ. But it's interesting, not only did they come, they are sealed, but then, you know, I won't read all the different tribes, 12,000 out of each of the tribes, okay? Now jump back down to verse number 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. Now wait, here's the question. Verse 13. One of the elders answered, saying to them, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, listen, church. These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, why does that follow the 144,000? You know, I had a guy tell me, I don't think there's any proof in the Bible that the 144,000 are unleashed on the earth to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that we follow the chronological chronology of the Bible here in this chapter. 144,000 are sealed. And then next thing you know, listen, back up in verse number 9, who do they reach? And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, and tongues. So God's just not saying during the tribulation period, I'm only going to turn to the Jewish people and get them the gospel. The gospel will be preached to all of the earth, all nations of the earth during the tribulation period. Say, how do you know that? I'll get to that in a second. It's going to happen in three different ways. Christ or God is going to allow people that were left behind, people maybe that never heard the gospel before, to have an opportunity to be saved. The first thing he's going to do is take 144,000 Jewish men, put a seal and a mark in their heads, and then they are going to go out into all nations and they are going to preach the gospel. By the way, they will be martyred, every single one of them. Every person they win to Christ eventually will be martyred. That's why we go from them being identified in this story of the 144,000 to a view of heaven. And wow, here's some more. Okay, in the fifth seal in chapter number 6, there are already a bunch of folks that gave up their life for Christ. Now all of a sudden he said, hey, be patient. There's others coming. It's not over yet. So let me kind of leave you with this, and we'll study this more, because as we come to these different chapters, we'll have time to get into them a little deeper. But I just want to stand up here in closing and say this, folks. Man alive, if anything, we ought to read the book of Revelation and come away just so overwhelmed by the mercy and grace of God. He could have raptured the church out and said, the rest of you, you know what, if you could have been or should have been saved, you know, you could have been saved and you should have been saved if you would have, and you didn't. So you know what? I'm done with the rest of you. But even during the time when God is pouring out judgment upon the earth, he's still sending and giving people who I believe, again, never had the opportunity to hear the gospel to be saved. And there's going to be a bunch of them get saved. But the price tag's going to be bigger. So how's he going to do this? In Revelation chapter 7. We read of the 144,000. I think he's going to send 144,000 to go out and evangelize and try to turn people to Christ. And I think they're going to be very successful. Okay, then we'll get to chapter number 11. The two witnesses that God sends from heaven and gives them unusual power. You know what? They're going to also be a witness. They're two witnesses. Why are they called two witnesses? Because they're there to, again, help share the gospel. And this is during the tribulation period. You know the story. They will be murdered. You know, for a while they'll be divinely protected. Then eventually the beast will kill them. Their bodies will lay in the streets. The Bible says every person on the planet will view them. Come on, with the technology, that can be done today. It's going to be like Christmas time. People are going to send gifts to each other. And that's how wicked the world is. And then all of a sudden, you know what? They're going to stand up on their feet. And they're going to be received up into heaven. And all of a sudden, it's going to be okay. Well, again, You're without excuse. You watch these miracles and you still blaspheme the God of heaven. You still don't listen to those two witnesses. And then let me take you to chapter 14. We'll read a couple of verses and I'll wind it up for tonight. But then after God does that, chapter 7, the 144,000, the two witnesses in chapter number 11, we get to chapter 14. This is an amazing thing. And let me just read this to you. And I just think God is so good. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So, you know, this whole prophecy, when Jesus said, come on, think about this, is the end come? As the end come, he said, you know what? All nations will hear the gospel. Not until all nations hear the gospel before the end will come. And that's talked about, by the way, Jesus coming back in Revelation 19. How is everyone going to hear? God, in his mercy and grace, is going to send an angel, a messenger. And you know what? It says there he's going to fly in the midst of heaven. And again, I could talk to you about the three heavens. But, you know, he's going to be flying above, in what we would call our sky. And he is literally going to go to every nation, every people, and every village. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to proclaim. It says what he's going to do here. He's going to preach unto them the everlasting gospel. It's almost like, okay, folks, Armageddon's coming. And wrath without mixture's coming. And we're giving you one last chance. And you wouldn't believe 144,000. You wouldn't believe two men that were sent from heaven. How can you deny? Please accept me. Please come to Christ. Please repent. I'm going to show up to every nation, every kindred, every tongue, every people, and this angel's going to do this. Now, how that all works and whatever, folks, listen to me. God can do things I can't imagine. I don't know how it's all going to work, but you know what? By the time chapter 14 comes down, he's not going to have near as many people, come on, better listen, to take the gospel to, because that one-fourth of the earth is just the beginning. These other plagues are going to take out large segments. There's another place, I believe, where it says one-third of the people left at that point in the rapture are killed off in one judgment. And so, you know, now we're down to who's left. And God is, listen, you know what? We serve a loving God. You know, I have people, well, a loving God wouldn't send someone to hell. Well, a loving God isn't going to send anybody to hell. Your sins are sending you to hell. A loving God sent his son to die for your sins and gave you the opportunity to be saved. You know, don't blame God for what our sins are doing to us, okay? It's not God, it's us. And so you think about that. That's amazing to me. As I study this and all these horrific judgments, and then I still look up towards heaven and see God during the tribulation period, still love man, still care for man, still trying to get the message out, he'll take that last soul if just anybody will turn to me. And you know what? We'll get down towards the end and we're going to find out man is just, you know, I mean, they've just spiraled down to such a point of reprobate and blasphemy that, you know what? They know there's a God. They know the message of salvation. And they will still shake their fists and curse the God of heaven and decide that if they all gather in this place called Armageddon, we might be able to beat him. It's just, honestly, a sad, sad study when we get to chapter 16, 17, and 18. All right. There's so much more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for just giving us a little bit of an insight. Lord, you've pulled back the curtains of prophecy and you've allowed us to kind of take a look down through the telescope of time and Lord to see a little bit into the future. And Lord, thank you for what you did give us. Lord, not all of it's easy to understand and cipher out and figure out, but Lord, thank you that there is a sense to the scripture. And Lord, again, help us to rightly divide the Bible. Lord, maybe as we leave here, we ought to just thank you, dear God, that we still live in a time in America where we can do what the teenagers did this afternoon. We can do what I was allowed to do this afternoon. We can still go out and we can still talk to people and we don't have to fear arrest. We can bring people to church with us and don't have to look at the back door wondering if somebody's going to come in and arrest us all. And there's Christians gathered around the world. They face that every single Sunday of their life. And Lord, I just would pray, dear God, we've been given these freedoms and this open door and this opportunity. Lord, I wonder, even in my lifetime, are we going to look back at this time and say, while we could have, why didn't we do more? And so motivate us, Lord, stir our hearts, embolden us, help us to pass out gospel tracts, to share our testimony, to invite people to church. Lord, every soul that gets saved, that little 7-year-old girl that got saved last Sunday morning, and not only did she get saved from hell, never having to go through hell, but if the rapture were to happen this week, she doesn't have to go through the tribulation period. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be busy till Jesus comes. We pray these things in his sweet name. Amen.